is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can Skype into the show. Username is lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Brett.
Brett's here from the School Sucks Project. You can go to schoolsucksproject.com to get lots more of content. Great content from Brett and the gang, I guess. Jason Osborne's still on the show with you.
Yeah. When we can get together and do it, we did some Liberty Forum interviews with Derek J. About some updates with him, Jeffrey Tucker, Carlos Morales. Yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited.
He's going to be back in about 2 months. I'm pretty jazzed about that as well. So schoolsucksproject.com, go get more Brett there. And Brett, we started out the show tonight, and you kind of teased a story. We got off on a tangent, and then a bunch of phone calls came in. So we really haven't had a chance to dig in at all into a study that you found about homework.
Yes, absolutely. This is from Reason.com. And the title of this piece, again, homework can turn your kid into a stressed-out wreck, researchers say. So it's good that there's some backing for this. I'm going to roll it back a couple sentences, Ian, just to give people some context if they're just joining us. Despite the variety of public, private, and charter schools near me, all of the parents I know complain that their kids have too much damned homework. Now, when we complain to teachers and administrators, we'll be armed with research suggesting that professional educators are trying to turn our kids into socially stunted weirdos. Yeah, really, a study published last year in the Journal of Experimental Education takes a dim view of the heavy workloads under which high school kids in the 10 high-performing high schools in upper-middle-class communities stagger. Results indicated that students in these schools average more than 3 hours of homework per night. That is so sad. 3 hours of homework a night.
I mean, they're in school for 8 hours a day, and of course you got to get up an hour and a half or whatever before school, get on the bus, and so how much time are you sitting on the bus, you know, and a good 30 minutes to 45 minutes on the bus in some cases. I mean, back one way, and so maybe an hour or 2 hours on the bus, depending on where you live. How the hell do you have time to do anything?
Right. Yeah, and the tone that it sets for the day, 5 days a week, too. Like, we talked about this on the show before. I think we did the 15 Habits for Success one time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I said I really like to do that really makes me feel better, maybe you're in the same kind of position, is to start a day slowly, if possible, you know? Get up.
Take it easy.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a big coffee drinker.
I don't drink coffee.
I drink coffee. I like a cup in the morning. It's very nice. You know, get up, make that coffee. Go. And the first thing I do is I try to have good habits, so I don't go right to Facebook because that's chaos.
Yeah.
I look at my calendar. I look at Evernote, this program I use to stay organized.
Yeah, I started using that, by the way.
Great, great. And I just kind of get the lay of the land in life. See what's going to, you know, get some stable ground to stand on. Sip the coffee.
Oh, that's smart. I usually go right to Facebook.
Vape a little bit. Sit back in my chair. Look out the window at the traffic going by, all these people going to work.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with that. But I'm fortunate enough to have the situation where I work at home and I can get myself a slow start. And what a difference that makes in how you feel.
Sure.
Now, flashback to the 1990s. When, I don't know if your household was like mine, but mom is like, get out of bed. You got to go to school.
Right.
It's the bus is going to be here in 20 minutes.
I hated that.
Yeah. So the beginning of the day is frantic. You have no time to yourself. You're in a rush. What kind of a mood does that put you in for
not
the whole
so
day?
Great.
Then you spend 7 hours in school.
Awful. Generally awful.
I mean, you got to have an extracurricular for your college application. And then you come home, 3 hours of homework. And I, you know, the way I made my living before I was able to...
Was it that bad for you in the 90s, 3 hours? I don't feel
no,
like it was that
and
bad.
I didn't do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I always did my strategy towards the end of high school years was to do the homework.
Because
I never studied for tests, and I would bomb usually a lot of the tests. Well, first of all, when I would do the homework, I wouldn't actually read the book. So I would just kind of, you know... You'd look at the questions in the book and then try to go back and find the answers, but I've never once in my entire high school career actually ever read a textbook.
Yeah, you know the other thing that's interesting too, like you're just a couple years younger than me, I think, but
I'm 33 right now.
So it might just be the couple years that makes the difference, right? Because high school was way harder for me than college.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got to college, suddenly the internet was there. You know, so okay. You probably got to enjoy a couple years of that in high school when it might have been easier to find some things. It was a primitive internet.
It was pretty primitive.
It was pretty primitive, but I remember just like
there was no Wikipedia back then.
There was no Wikipedia, right? And there was probably not even anything like Spark Notes back then. But none of the teachers knew about it at that point, for sure, because most of my college professors were in their 50s. And when the internet was new, I just remember being able to research things online, get answers to questions, and it made college much easier than high school, which was such drudgery. I never did 3 hours of homework because I was a bad student. That's what they told me.
I managed to pass without doing any like reading of the textbooks and studying for tests. But so for me, like if I did homework, it would help bring my grades up to where I wouldn't totally, you know, bomb.
Sure. And, you know, I do understand just on another note, too, because I don't want to glamorize being a bad student. If you are going to stay in school, you know, and if you are going to get a high school diploma, you might as well do the best you can, because I will say this, I will agree with what my parents told me when I was 16, that I probably would have had more opportunities, you know, as far as college was concerned, if I had done better in high school.
Yeah, so what good is college?
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I forgot it, but never mind.
College seems like a total waste of money to me, and I wish I could have the time back personally, because you want to talk about being harried. I mean, when you're in college, at least I wasn't falling asleep on the way to school. I mean, right. When I finally got off the school bus and was able to drive myself to school, I wasn't ever falling asleep on the way to high school, but I sure did a couple times on the way to college, because I was working and going to college. I was working two jobs in college and going to college, and it was just exhausting.
Well, my real answer to your question, and this is what I told my 13-year-old nephew, who is also struggling in school, much to the chagrin of all the adults who were listening to what I had to say, I said, you know, school is BS, and you would be better off, you know, getting a job, being an entrepreneur, at least getting out and doing something, learning a skill, because you're not going to do it there. But if you're going to stay in school, if you're going to stick it out in school, because you want to go to college, you should try to get into the best college possible. Like, if you can get into Brown University, if you can get into Harvard, not that those places aren't soul-sucking in their own right in many aspects, but if that's the only college that's worth something, or unless you're graduating from college with, you know, a very usable mechanical or electrical engineering degree, something like that, college either needs to have a very specific purpose or it needs to be an A-plus school. So that's,
you've got to know why you're going to college. Your reason for going to college shouldn't be because everyone's doing it, or because your parents said you should, or because everyone in school says that's the right thing to do. You should have a very specific plan and goal that you want to accomplish.
Absolutely.
A career path in mind, etc. A lot of people go to college, and they have no idea why. They're just there because that's the reason they're supposed to be there, is because they've been told they were supposed to be there, and they don't know what they want to do. They change their major two or three times in the time that they're in college, and basically waste a bunch of money and time.
Yeah, it's an expensive exploration.
It's really sad. So more with the homework, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So last sentence. Results indicated that students in these schools averaged more than 3 hours of homework per night. Students who did more hours of homework experienced greater behavioral engagement in school, but also more academic stress, physical health problems, and lack of balance in their lives. No kidding. How could there be any balance? You know,
that's all there. It's all school. School, school, school. You eat, sleep, and breathe it. That's terrible.
Yeah, church on Sunday. Because kids get homework on the weekend, too.
That's right, yeah.
And
projects.
I made my living for a long time as a tutor, right? So I was always trying to do SAT tutoring. Mm-hmm. I gave up on academic tutoring because you're just like an enforcer for the school, and it's really gross. Terrible. But trying to wedge myself in sometime during the week, like making a schedule for the whole week with all these, like if I had 10 clients at the same time, was so difficult because none of the kids had any free time. You know, they were just being moved from one place to another, school or extracurricular or homework or band or something like that.
But parents have believed this is necessary, that this is the way it's supposed to be. You're saying this study has found differently. We'll get into more here in moments. Our toll-free number, if you want to share your experience, maybe you're currently in school and you can you can say, yes, this is really the load of homework that we're having. 855-453, you can take control here on Free Talk Live.
I want to share something important that will not only improve your life, but the lives of many others as well. And all you need to do is drink coffee. I'm not talking about harmful store-bought or chain coffee. No, this is truly the best of the best coffee. We've partnered with Camano Island Coffee Roasters to offer BuzzBox. With every purchase, 10% goes towards our efforts to give the gift of human freedom by providing at least 100 microfinance loans via World Vision. So literally, just one cup at a time, you're having an impact and helping make a difference in the world. And one sip will have you buzzing to family and friends. To prove just how good it is, we're giving a free pound of coffee to everyone in the audience. All you do is cover shipping. Go to coffee.freetalklive.com. BuzzBox coffee is organic, so it contains no pesticides or toxins. It's shade grown, so less acidity and no heartburn. It's top 1% Arabica grade and gives people the opportunity to own their own coffee farms. Join us in making a huge impact at coffee.freetalklive.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237 and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want right here, toll-free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can Skype into the show at username lrn.fm. So feel free to reach us in that way if you prefer. We're going to continue here on the topic that we have about homework. In fact, we've got some people that would like to discuss that very topic on Skype. 855-450-FREE is, again, the toll-free number, our Skype username, lrn.fm. Let's go to Skype, where Matthew is on the line with us in Connecticut. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Brett. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I wanted to tell you that you're absolutely right. I'm actually in the middle of my approximately 3 hours of homework right now, so...
And you're going to a government high school?
Yeah, that's correct.
What sort of... What is the 3 hours? I mean, of what? Which classes are we talking about? What are the assignments? What are you doing tonight?
Tonight I'm doing a chemistry lab write-up that's actually one day late, so I can only get partial credit for it, so it's kind of demoralizing. And I'm also doing... I have to do some English homework. I have to read Hamlet, which I don't know...
Oh, God! I hated Shakespeare.
Yep, I agree with Ian. Shakespeare is awful.
Well... I don't know. I mean, yeah, like our teacher told us that, like, you know, the whole to be or not to be speech was, like, you know, the most profound thing in English literature. And she went on and on about that. And, you know, it's just about suicide. And I asked her, you know, couldn't any teenager make the same sort of complaint to their parents or whatever and you know, in their own vernacular? I don't know. She thought that was a good question. But, yeah, I don't really like it. I mean, the whole idea of having to read assigned books, like, I read my own literature. I don't want to have to be bothered with that, you know? I mean, if I was interested in it, I would take it upon myself to go read Shakespeare if I saw some value in it, you know?
Yeah, I just remember, I guess I shouldn't apply the blanket statement that Shakespeare is awful, because I guess I'm in the minority on that opinion. He's, you know...
It's awful to read. I can't handle it.
When I was 14, it wasn't empowering to read that. You can barely understand the language, and yep. You know, if there was
feel dumb.
Yeah, if there was a course in Shakespeare where you go through the grammar of Old English and you learn what all these words mean, and then you're empowered to read Shakespeare instead of just, like, you know, passing or going up and down the rows in your English class and stumbling through whatever the reading is. Like, we would go around and read out loud. So it took something that certainly has a lot of merit as art. I mean, Shakespeare or whoever wrote those books, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, I'm just saying there's theories that other people that stuff. Whoever wrote that, they were certainly pioneering a style that has been replicated and copied and praised endlessly in Western culture. So I'm not going to say that it's valueless, but to force it on 14-year-olds, or how old are you, Matt?
I'm 16. I'm a junior.
Yeah. So when were you introduced to it?
Well, I read Othello in eighth grade. That was my first Shakespeare, and I was only 13.
Yeah. So 13, 14, I think, is when most people are introduced to it. So that's chemistry and English. What else you got going on?
I have, a math class. It's actually not – I'm taking pre-calculus, honors, and discrete math. And I have some discrete math homework, which is just this weird, like, sort of statistics-like math class, and I just have – about an hour of that.
So when did you get home today from school? When did you start on the homework, and when do you feel like you're going to be done with it?
I got home. School ends at 2 p.m. I get home around 2:30, about like a half hour on the bus, and I just take a nap instantly. Like, I only get maybe like five hours of sleep, six if I'm lucky each night. So I usually just sleep right when I get home. But
all right, what time are you waking up for school? Like 5:30, 6 o'clock?
5:45.
You ought to tell somebody you need about 9 hours of sleep. So I don't, you know, I'm being half kidding, but talk to mom, talk to the teachers, say I need 4 more hours of sleep, because, you know, at your age and in your activity level, I'm sorry, you know, it seems like you're getting kind of worn down. Do you feel that way or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if the sleep has a lot to do with it, but I was going to bring up, I kind of disagree with what you said about, like, if you're going to go to school and you're going to be there anyway, maybe you have parents that don't agree with, like, homeschooling philosophy or whatever, and you have to be there, that you should just do the best you can. Like, I kind of disagree with that. You should just do the best
you
can.
Yeah, please tell me why. Please tell me why.
Okay. This is why, because I don't think it's that simple, at least in my experience, it's not. It's, you know, when I go to school, when you read things, and I don't think every teenager has, but when you read things like Civil Disobedience and Walden, and perhaps like Edison or Ben Franklin's autobiography, and you're exposed to some kind of like literature or media, and you understand that childhood can be, or just, I don't know, life in general, doesn't have to be working your way or struggling through some institutions, you know, force or whatever, then it becomes exceedingly difficult to comply on a daily basis with all this stuff. Like, you know, having a routine, even if it's not the worst, you know, I mean, even if it's just in a warm building and you're just going from classroom to classroom, seat to seat, and it's not like torture. I mean, it's like maybe it's psychological, I don't know, torture, whatever, but it becomes extremely hard just to sit there and listen to what the teacher is saying. Like, it's just, you know, it's just so demoralizing. I mean, it's not like you can be like, you can rationalize in your head. It's not as easy as just rationalizing, like, oh, I'm going to be here anyway. Yeah. Let's get A's, you know? It's a lot of working through a lot of other, you know, psychological factors, and I don't know, it's very complicated.
It's a rock and a hard place, and I don't know how long you've been listening, but I do a show called School Sucks Podcast. I was a teacher for a number of years. Our website is schoolsucksproject.com, and one of the messages that I wanted people like you to get is to you... you know, to be able to hear from an adult who has been on the other side of the classroom that what you feel is right. You're not defective for feeling the way you do. Nothing is wrong with somebody like you for feeling this way or observing these things. You are absolutely right. The adults who are telling you something else are kidding themselves, because a lot of the time, I think, you know, we as adults don't want to look back and face what was done to us. That we were lied to, that we were deceived, that we were forced to do things we don't want to do.
Well, there's a rationalization that happens, right? Yeah. I mean, around here, there's some critics of the school system. The Liberty community is very critical of the school system. But the people who support the system will say things like, well, I went to the government schools and I turned out fine.
Yes, right.
And from their perspective, they did. You know, they're able to pay the rent. They're taking care of themselves and their families. And, you know, they feel like, how dare you attack this system? It did good for me.
But that's you understand, Ian, that that's a mantra that they're doing. That's self-talk that they're engaging in, because who could argue with the idea that school sucks or that the schools don't work? Like, everybody knows that. You know, and that's why I do the show, because it attracts young people who are already sold on the idea that school sucks to the ideas of liberty, you know. So if people really think about it, I think are really capable of being honest with themselves, aside from, you know, some true believers and maybe very committed teachers, everybody knows, you know, we have forced associations and we have voluntary associations and activities. You can tell the difference, because the things that you choose to do voluntarily give you satisfaction, and the things that you're forced to do are an imposition, and you know, we don't enjoy them and they make us upset.
Hey, Matthew, great call tonight, man. Appreciate preach. You want me to keep him?
Yeah, right. Keep him.
You want to stick around, Matthew?
Sure, yeah.
All right, hang on, man. Great. We'll bring you back here in a moment. 855-450-FREE. Seems like a sharp kid. More on the way here. You can take control here on Free Talk Live. Skype username is LRN.FM. We'll continue in a moment.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy viruses.
byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here toll-free at 855-450-FREE. We've been talking about homework, however. Yes. Now it's incredibly damaging, apparently, according to one study, to young people in the not just government schools but private schools as well, because there are a lot of schools that have this idea that homework is this valuable thing that instead could end up really stressing young people out and causing some damage.
I think it's a problem that originates in the public schools, certainly, because the philosophy is when things don't work, try more of them harder. You know, I mean, that's pretty much a government method of solving problems, right? Don't go back. Don't examine the roots of a problem. You know, don't look at individuals. Just give them more work more frequently. There's lots of talk about, you know, extending school years and all that. So,
yeah, we were talking about how it's apparently 3 hours a night is what is typically assigned for homework these days. And that doesn't allow anyone who's a student to have any time to develop any sort of other interests besides taking care of the requirements of the classroom. Yeah. So you can't we've seen examples here and there of young people who've been able to have the time, maybe because they're homeschooled or unschooled or something like that, but have had the time to create their own businesses, to be entrepreneurs, and to innovate and come up with new ideas. You're not innovating in a classroom. You're just doing whatever it is that you're assigned to do.
Right.
There's no novelty to that. You're just doing what the same group of kids did that same time of year last year. You're treading over the same ground. But when we see young people having the freedom to innovate and be entrepreneurial and create their own, businesses or ideas or inventions, we see all kinds of really creative stuff come up because these young people
they haven't been beaten down as much as adults. They haven't been, I mean, that's kind of the process of going to school, is beating young people into becoming obedient serfs when they finally get out. But generally, young people, they're not as restricted in their mindset as older people who've been programmed for their whole life kind of by this system. So they're able to think outside of the box and come up with neat ideas. And so I think that that's one of the real tragedies here, is the unseen, right? Like, we know that students are supposed to spend all this time on homework, and that's supposedly a good thing for them, but really what would be best is if they had the time and the freedom to find out what was really right for them, to find the areas of life that they think are most interesting and exciting, and focus in that and see what grows out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about so much time of every day filled that it's risking their own identity. Pretty much in a lot
right, of they're cases. Just a student.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really neat idea that one of our listeners has come up with. It is imagine this. It's being able to spend your bitcoins with a credit card through a completely decentralized non-bank system. You swipe and Bitcoin is removed from your Bitcoin wallet, meaning that Bitcoin would then be just as easy to use as money in the meat space world. If this technology sounds awesome to you and you feel like it might be worth checking out as a possible investment, Temper, who's the guy behind this, is looking for investors, and you can help him by going to his Indiegogo campaign at mybtc.cc. That's mybtc.cc. So let's go back to Matthew. He's still on the line with us here. You wanted to hang on to him. He seems like a real bright guy at age 16 in the government school system. He's been explaining to us his homework load, some of the ridiculous stuff that he's being asked to do. But Brett, what else did you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to make sure, Matthew, you felt like you were heard. I know I had some things to say, and I think you raised a really good point that there is obviously not just more detail, but you are kind of between a rock and a hard place, right, when you start to realize that, some of the problems with school, but you don't feel like, for one reason or another, parents, other circumstances, that you could just leave school. And I think there's a lot of people who are in the same position as you, and then it becomes a question of school survival. So am I capturing it correctly? Do you have, friends, people you can talk to who have a similar mindset or find themselves in a similar position?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do agree that it becomes a question of school survival, having to survive in that environment, daily. And my friends, they don't feel as strongly about it as I do, I think. I mean, I have a libertarian friend who I talk about it sometimes, but he's still, he's in like AP classes still, and he still seems pretty content and stuff. I don't know. I feel that like I'm probably one of the most, dissatisfied or reminded of it daily of my friends, but some of them feel similarly. They don't really, I don't know. It's not like as big a deal to them. They're more compliant.
Have you ever gotten any pushback or like explicit disagreement with some of your friends, like, oh no, Matthew, you're wrong. It's, so important, and it's even great.
Yeah, I have. I made friends, especially in middle school, with a lot of the top students, because I'm very interested in academia and things like reading and stuff. So actually, I would tend to the nerdy kids, the kids who get really good grades. When I talk to them about it, they are absolutely fine, and they're like, whatever. I mean, they like going to class. They are very emotionally invested in what the teacher has to say to them about them and stuff. I feel that that's really a big deal to them. They'll argue with me saying, that it's justified, it's perfectly fine. Like, don't make, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I ask is because in the last segment I made this blanket statement, like, everybody knows school sucks. And that's not true, obviously, right? And
yeah, I don't think it's true.
Yeah, the more we thought about it, the more exceptions to my rule we could probably find. So,
I think a lot of kids just accept it, even if they don't embrace it. Like, some kids embrace it. They're at, they're at the top of the class or whatever, and, some of the kids at the top of the class really embrace it and really get into it. A large majority, I feel, are very, like, oblivious to the fact that it's okay to say or even think about not going to school, or that it's wrong, or what's going on there is wrong, because you're just taught, like, doing your work and like that's your daily achievement. Like, you know, even if I didn't like it or if I got distracted talking to my friend, oh, I did some work and that was good. And you get rewarded even monetarily sometimes by your parents. And, you know, there's so many things that make kids feel that it's a good thing that they don't even bother to question. They wouldn't even think of questioning it. I mean, I think that there's maybe a smaller population of kids that are dissatisfied with it than you initially stated. Or at least that's in my school, at least, in my experience.
Where are you in Connecticut? Because that actually matters.
South Windsor.
Oh, okay.
Is that like a fancy area or what?
South Windsor, it's a suburb of, could we call it a suburb of Hartford? It's a little ways from Hartford, but it's...
Right, yeah, it's near Hartford. Yeah, it's a suburb. Yeah.
Most of Connecticut. I mean, Connecticut is either you're either rich or you live in the hood. I mean, it really is. The income disparity in that state is pretty extreme. And obviously there is some middle class there, but it is, I think, probably the most significant income disparity in the country last I saw. So, you know, there's a lot of money and there's and that translates to, from my experience working in Massachusetts, which is very similar to Connecticut, a lot of competition and a lot of keeping up with the Joneses.
Well, I know that when I was in school, I didn't think it was very great. I mean, most of the people I knew thought school sucked, but then again, I didn't run with the goody-two-shoes crowd, so I'm sure they would have had a different perspective.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that you're out there, Matthew, because, you know, you're thinking for yourself. It's clear that you have, you know, some kind of identity of your own. You're asking these questions, and it's encouraging for me. Even if you provide information contrary to things I push on my show frequently, I'm happy to get the feedback. And I think you made some really good points about, yeah, it's not just as black and white. If you're going to stay in school, you know, might as well get all A's and go to Brown University, because not everybody has that option. And you know, there is a site in schoolsurvival.net that has a lot of good resources too. That might be worth checking out. And
Matthew, thank you. Yeah. By the way, anything else you want to share with us tonight?
Just please wish me luck tomorrow.
Good luck.
Good luck,
sir. Call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. Of course, you may call in our toll free number 855-450-FREE. We've got Nathan in Texas, also on Skype. Go ahead, Nathan.
I was curious about the last caller. He brought up he's studying Shakespeare. Is that right?
He is, just yes. As almost everyone is forced to study in government high school.
Well, I had a few things to say about that, and I wanted to ask Brett about what his philosophy is on what should be taught in school.
Stand by. We'll get to that discussion here in moments. Shakespeare and philosophy of teaching, all on the way here in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live, which are coming up next. 855-453 is the toll-free number. Free Talk Live.
The following is an important free offer for smokers only. The makers of Victor, the world's most advanced e-cigarette, have just authorized the release of free starter kits to all smokers who call in the next 10 minutes. Valued at $99, these Victor starter kits are available for free, but only while supplies last. To guarantee your free kit, call in the next 10 minutes, 1-800-564-6941. The revolutionary Victor design creates only water vapor. There is no foul-smelling smoke and no unhealthy tar. This allows individuals to enjoy the nicotine they love without restriction, no matter where they are. The financial advantages over cigarettes are considerable as well. It is estimated that the average smoker can save hundreds of dollars a month with Victor. Again, free Victor starter kits are now available to any smoker who calls in the next 10 minutes. This is a radio-only offer not available in stores, so call now for your free kit. 1-800-564-6941. 1-800-564-6941. 1-800-564-6941.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications radio network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze Dry Guy.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Freeze Dry Guy keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you'd like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
Please pay attention, folks. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is a Christian, veteran-owned wholesale preparedness company. Our mission is to get the Word of God out to all those in need of a Bible and who cannot afford one. We also provide great-tasting freeze-dried food from only 50 cents per serving, GMO-free food, over 1,000 preparedness items.
Plus, for a limited time, type in the word Genesis at checkout and receive 10% off your total purchase. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain, normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, you can bring up what you want. Even in these remaining moments, there's enough time for you and your thoughts at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Our Skype username is lrn.fm, and we're going to go back to Skype, but also want to remind you to check out Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. We talked briefly that Derek J is coming back to New Hampshire. His two-year suspended sentence will be up in May, and he's very excited about returning to New Hampshire and being part of the Free State Project again, because, you know, it's just a depressing thing living in Philadelphia, which is where he currently lives, and from what I'm told, He's been having kind of a tough time because there's no chance for freedom to succeed in a place like that. You look confused, Brett.
In the birthplace of liberty?
No, I'm afraid
Philadelphia?
Big cities are just not a place where freedom is going to blossom, but here in New Hampshire it can. You want to check out Derek J's story and a great real telling of some of the activism that went on here in Keene, New Hampshire. Over about a year's period of time, back in 2011, we turned it into a feature-length documentary film. You can go to victimlesscrimespree.com, and you can watch the entire thing in its, the full film on YouTube. You can also grab it on DVD. The director's cut version of the film is available on DVD, and I highly recommend it. It's free, so go and check it out at victimlesscrimespree.com. Nathan is back with us, calling from Texas on Skype. Nathan, are you there?
I am.
All right, so what was it that you left us with a moment ago?
So first on Shakespeare, I'm not the best person to defend Shakespeare. I'm not a literature major or anything like that. I mean, I just read some of his plays and really enjoyed them. And I mean, the guy really was brilliant. There's a reason he's called the greatest playwright in the English language.
No objection, by the way, just no objection to anything you've said so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good writer for sure. I mean, as far as the plot of the stories, and they're entertaining, and there's a reason why they've held for so long.
And it's been copied endlessly.
It's just impossible to read it. I mean, if you're just the average person, I tried reading some Shakespeare as an adult,
and I had to have the dictionary tooltip installed, which is a neat little browser plugin where you can double-click on words, mm-hmm. and it comes up with the definition for them. I never would have gotten through that, through any of it, if I couldn't, like, look up words literally every sentence. A lot of times I could infer sort of what the word meant based on the context in the okay. sentence, but... Man, it was difficult reading. It was like a slog reading through that. It was horrifying.
But we might have had different experiences, because when I was in high school, we didn't do the, I guess that what that caller was saying, you sit there and stand up and read a passage from Shakespeare. We read, you know, we had these textbooks that had annotations in the columns, like you say, every few paragraphs to tell you what an unfamiliar word might mean.
That's handy.
And then we watched movies, you know, about Shakespeare, and you know, so we'd see a movie about Romeo and Juliet while reading the, you know, we watched West Side Story, for example.
Ah, and, indeed, fantastic movie based off Romeo and Juliet.
So those really, that kind of style really helps to understand it, I think, as opposed to just, you know, standing up and reading passages like from the Bible or something.
Now, you had a question for Brett.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, Nathan, I'll tell you a secret. It might hurt my anti-Shakespeare cred a little bit, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Last Shakespeare play I read was Julius Caesar. And I was either 33 or 34 years old at the time. So it wasn't that long ago. And I enjoyed it. And the secret was, I did it voluntarily, which is a magic world of difference than being forced to do something. So is Shakespeare great? Is most of his work great? Is it really important literary contributions to the Western world and beyond? No doubt. I don't even think that's debatable. But when you force people to do it, you know, that can take the joy out of anything.
Well, I guess that leads into my next question, which is about what you think children should or shouldn't learn in a free system versus the current coercive system. Because I have to admit, I feel a little troubled sometimes by some of the things I've heard you and Ian say. Like, I mean, I understand algebra is not something everyone needs to learn, for example, but
sure.
You know, some people need to learn it. If you're going to be a chemist or a physicist, you need to learn it. And I just get a vibe sometimes from you, and I guess not from any one particular person, but from libertarians in general, I kind of get this vibe of, oh, well, all that fancy, you know, math and science and literature, you know, we don't need that.
Fancy math and science?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get what you mean. I certainly understand that. One of my biggest criticisms of school is that people are not taught how to learn. They're taught how to sponge up information.
And then promptly forget it later.
Yeah, and then they jettison that information when they don't need it for tests anymore. And I've asked, you know, I used to do these SAT classes that were as big as 40 kids sometimes, and I would always ask the same question, how do you learn vocabulary? They would all tell me the same thing. They would get a list of unrelated words mm-hmm. at the beginning of the week. They would cram for a quiz on Friday, and then they would forget what all the words meant. And you see these people in these SAT classes when you're preparing for, you know, the verbal portion of the test, and they're all writhing like, oh, I've heard that word before, but I forget it. It was a vocabulary word once. But they're not taught like Latin roots, you know, so they're not given mm-hmm. a foundation of education. You know, they're just force-fed information. They basically are compelled to sponge it up and then barf it onto a quiz and then just repeat. And that's not learning. I try not to use the word should, right? When we're talking about, you know, things being done in a voluntary way, I've tried, I still use it all the time, but I am making an active effort to take the word should out of my vocabulary. But I believe that students benefit from learning critical thinking skills, like the trivium method, from learning the grammar of whatever language they speak, you know, like what does bio mean? What does auto mean? What does D, in, ab, what do all those things mean? Because then you're able to figure out, you know, you see a word like intransigence, right? But if you know what in does in a word, you know what trans does in a word, you might be able to get a meaning just from knowing the parts of the word. But no one's taught language that way. So no one's taught how to learn, and no one's taught to be intellectually self-sufficient. We have to also, ironically, learn that on our own. So yeah. I don't like the word should when it comes to the education of young people, but there are things that I think are valuable that I try to, on my show, encourage people to either pursue for themselves or teach to their children.
Well, I guess let me, and I agree with what you said about the cramming. In fact, there's research out there that shows that cramming is one of the worst ways to learn something because it, you only recall it for a short time. But I wanted to, I guess maybe I could rephrase the question. In a free society, what do you think most parents would want their children to learn? Do you think they would, you know, demand advanced organic chemistry of 10-year-olds? I mean, how do you think that would go?
I think it would be every set of parents would have a different set of standards. I mean, it would be the market would be responding to those demands and what parents thought was important. It's hard to really say what most parents would want because everyone's different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very gradual transition too, Nathan, because remember, a lot of these parents are pretty schooled, right? And they just, they kind of unquestioningly
reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right. It's not because they're dumb people, but you know, it's almost always for me, a problem that stems from the number one lesson of government school, which is obedience. Number two is conformity. Number three is apathy, if you want to know all three. But people just, they say, oh, you're the expert? Oh, my goodness, look at you. You're on TV. I should. You wrote an article for the newspaper? My goodness, who am I to, you know, disagree? And that's obviously like an internal dialogue a lot of the time, but people put too much faith in authority. And a lot of times people get into those positions of authority, whether we're talking about local school board or the highest, you know, seats in academia or in government because they want to control other people.
So true. Nathan, thanks for the call tonight. Let's go to Dave in Nevada on the AMP lines. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. Great show today, by the way.
Go ahead, sir.
Keeping with the whole school theme, I heard earlier somebody mentioned Common Core, and I think as bad as, you know, schools are, that with Common Core, it makes it even worse because basically you have the federalization of school standards now, and they say, oh, well, the states, you know, put the standards together and adopted it, but basically they blackmail the states into doing it and say, through that stimulus package, yeah, if you guys adopt these standards, we're going to give you all this money.
Well, it's, blackmail is a strong word, and just what I usually say is, they say, hey, you want some money? States, the federal government does this, and we've seen them do this in law enforcement, right? They get people to have these DWI programs by promising local police departments all this cool tech. So the federal Department of Education says to the State Department of Education, hey, you guys looking for more money? Government's always looking for more money. So then they say, well, there's some strings attached, and the strings always turn out to be these chains that you're talking about.
I've heard that the federal government provides 6% on average of any government school's operating budget, but also controls
almost
like
all
90%.
The control.
Hey, thanks for the call, Dave. We're out of time for tonight. Check more Brett out over at SchoolSucksProject.com and more Free Talk Live tomorrow night. FreeTalkLive.com in the meantime.
Remember how bad your allergies were last year? When they hit again, be prepared with new Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour, the first full-strength 24-hour prescription nasal spray available without a prescription. Unlike antihistamines, it blocks more of the body's chemical responses that cause nasal allergy symptoms, relieving the worst of them, including congestion, for 24 hours. New Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed. May take up to 1 week of daily use to feel the most symptom relief.
Right now until March 18th, the flooring experts at Lumber Liquidators have huge deals going to fit any taste or budget, like donor oak laminate for an amazing 39 cents a square foot, beautiful carbonized bamboo for just $1.39, even spectacular Bellawood prefinished Bolivian rosewood for an incredible $2.99 a square foot. Pick up free samples at hundreds of stores nationwide, plus special financing available and easy professional installation or expert advice for DIYers. But hurry, this sale ends March 18th. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there. and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.